two other meaty bits that I wanted to some hey, get the
Brian.
Will.
Brian, give us your meaty bits,
motherfucker.
Ready the Armada. Kenobi.
I'm not a monster.
Oh, you showing me. Hey, come on.
Kenobi! Welcome to Films of Black and White, everybody.
All right, all right, all right. I don't do mouth horns.
You don't do mouth horns. You were feeling the, you know, DJ Jazzy Jeff, like Will Smith summertime. So, Brian, it's okay. It's okay. We were all feeling it. So, it's okay.
I missed my cue. It wasn't like a ton of dead air there. It wasn't like a lot of dead air. But, yeah, no. I went with the Matthew McConaughey. I feel like you can't go wrong with all right, all right, all right. That used to be my go-to in meetings when I was in student affairs. So, yeah, that's I brought that out. That's all that's reliable.
Right it there. Is. It is nice to have in your back pocket, something you can go to whenever you need it. Hopefully everybody's doing well. It is another fantastic Monday. We're happy to be with you all today to talk a little bit about a lot of little things. Like, we're going to basically, this is kind of the potpourri episode, y'all. We're gonna be a little bit of this, a little bit of that, before we get into a bonus. So,
Last week was a little intense, okay? Civil War. Brought a lot out. You know, we were talking about war crimes. Some of us were maybe selecting our favorite ones. Some, who knows? Somewhere. Things got really intense.
We'd have to go to the tape.
You know, who knows, really? But I guess, our podcast knows. We recorded everything. I'm excited to talk about some lighter things on this episode. But
yeah.
But man, before we get into that, Doug, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Got to celebrate a birthday party yesterday. So Harrison turned 7 yesterday. So we had a birthday, which went really, really well. So, I mean, no complaints. Things were great. So all in all, it was a good weekend. Like, it was, everything went smoothly. It was what we wanted it to be. And here we are. Here we are.
Happy birthday to Harrison.
Well, yeah. Happy birthday to Harrison. So I'm glad he had fun. That's the most important thing.
Yes.
He had his first like big kid party, like where liked to you know. God damn it. Okay, Jared, so Roman's in the chat. Roman's in the chat. His name this week is Sad ASPCA Dog. Doug didn't want to help last week. Oh, yes, there will be a quote this week, Roman. Just so you know. So here we are. But Brian, Bubble Wizard, how are you, sir?
Hello. Yes. I'm doing great. I am the Bubble Wizard, according to my children. Because one of the activities that me and all three of my kids can do outside is do bubbles.
Yeah.
And we have these really long wands. Like, we invest in the summer infrastructure for outside play. So we got bubbles. We got like hundreds of chalk. We got hundreds of chalk. I don't even know what to call them. I don't know. Whatever. We have a ton of pieces of chalk. Pieces, whatever. We got a big
chunks.
Deal. Yeah, I don't know. Chalk pencils, whatever. I'm gonna look this up later.
We got chalk.
And so we're starting to get into summer mode and being outside. Yeah. And I had this wand and I was just like doing a figure eight. And my one kid was just like, "Dad, you're a bubble wizard." And I was like, "Thanks. I am a bubble wizard. I am. You know what? I deserve happiness. I deserve to be a bubble wizard."
Yeah. And you know what? I love those. Those are also some of like my favorite moments when your kids identify something that like is rudimentary. Like, I remember I was playing with a yo-yo once and I just was like letting it go. And they're like, "You're so good at the yo-yo." And I'm like, "Uh-huh. Yep, I am. You should know that. I'm excellent at the yo-yo." So it's just always great to me, like, that for now, all of our children still look up to us and are like, and are still like, "Dad's a bubble wizard," rather than when they're 14, like, "Dad's a douche." Like, none of our children would say that, but.
No,
I hear they get
angsty
when they become teenagers. So,
I mean, yeah, I think, you know, my oldest is 7 and I'm already starting to get, I mean, he's in first grade and he's had some of that recess attitude. And I'm like, "Whoa, okay." Yeah. And I'm like, "Wow, it's only like more intense after this." Okay.
What's your favorite piece of recess attitude? Like, what's the one thing he says where you have to like fight back the tear, like fight back the laughter a little bit.
He, so Liam the other day went on a whole streak of like, I don't care. And like, he like, to his credit, I'm waiting for Liam to listen to this in like 10 years.
Yeah.
To his credit, like he committed to the bit. This 7-year-old looked me dead in the eyes. And I was like, hey kid, if this continues, you're going to lose video games. He's like, well, I don't care. And I'm like, I know you care. Like,
I know you care.
It's Lego yep. Marvel. It's like your two favorite things. Like, put I know together. You care. And he's like, yeah. Whatever. I don't care. And I'm like, you totally pick this up on the playground as like a defense mechanism. But my man, like, this is like recess ends. Like, you live here.
Yep, that's right. My favorite from Harrison is, I don't know, you tell me. Like, that's my favorite one that he's been doing lately is, I don't know, you tell me. And we'll say things like, hey, man, have you brushed your teeth? He'll go, I don't know, you tell me. And I'm like, because he's not even, like, using it quite right. Like,
yeah, that's amazing. That's perfect.
Like, oh, hey, my gosh. Hey, did you eat all your peas? I don't know, you tell me. And he'll, like, show me the plate. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, you did. You could have just answered me that way. Like, that's my, one is my, I don't know, you tell me, and I don't care. Cause we had a streak of I don't care too, Brian.
Yeah.
We had a streak, but I don't know, you tell me is my favorite.
I like, I don't know, you tell me, because there are literally going to be things where it's like, no, I do need you to tell me.
Like, I do need you to tell me this. Like,
I wasn't there.
Did you do that? Like, yeah. Yeah.
Man.
It's the best.
That's 7-year-olds. Incredible.
7-year-olds are another level.
7-year-olds are just coming into their own. I didn't ask you about your Chiron, sir. You list yourself as Doug, White Girl Interrupted. What's going on there?
So we're going to cover this today. We got a new Wolverine and Deadpool trailer.
We did.
And White Girl Interrupted was my favorite nickname for cocaine that they used in the trailer. There was a string of them. There was a string of them where it was like,
oh my gosh,
like I love Bolivian all of
marching
them.
Powder. Bolivian
marching powder, White Girl Interrupted. They were all really great, but for some reason White Girl Interrupted I thought was hilarious.
That's incredible.
But we're gonna carry on. So you might notice Marcus isn't here. The state of student affairs is that he's got stuff to do. And here's where we're at. But we are gonna play a little game called Catch That Quotable.
The sounds of Doug Wagner.
The harsh tones of Doug Wagner.
I can try to T-Swift it, but it's going to be ugly and nobody wants that.
Brian, I don't need to hear it. You're not breaking up with Catch That Quotable. Like, we don't need to know. We're fine. That's it. Yep, that's the one. So this week we are going to do a quote. Now, Roman did send us two.
Okay.
The one I'm saving, the one that he sent us to fill that quotable, because I feel like Marcus would be mad if he missed it, and he'd also be mad at us if we missed it.
Yeah.
So we're going to go back to last week's quote. I don't know why I'm telling all of you this, but that's what we're going to do.
No, that's what we should do.
So, Brian, are you ready for this week's quote?
Doug, hit me.
I woke up this morning, you know, and the sun was shining and it was nice and all that type of stuff. And the first thing I saw you and I said, boy, this is going to be a one terrific day. So you better live it up, because tomorrow you'll be nothing. You see? And I almost was.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's how I felt, too.
Okay.
That's how I felt, too.
Is a quote that's how I felt from too. A movie.
This is a quote from a piece of cinema that was shot with a camera. That's what
most likely
was.
In the past 50 years.
Yep.
At some point in time.
Yeah. So I'll read it again.
Yeah, please.
Don't know what this is.
I need to stretch this out.
I woke up this morning, you know, and the sun was shining and it was nice and all that type of stuff. And the first thing I saw you and I said, boy, this is going to be one terrific day. So you better live it up, because tomorrow you'll be nothing. You see? And I almost was. No idea.
Okay. So
the only thing that I can get is this is either, I don't know if it's like a comedic tone or not. It feels like it's a comedic tone. And so my knee jerk reaction is to say this is from like Scary Movie 3. Like, that's the only thing that I can think of. Like, I can see Kevin Hart saying this.
I'm getting a vibe that it is an existential piece of cinema, okay, if we're going to be using the fancy terms here.
Yeah, that's fancy. We're fancy today.
Mr. Watkins, that's for you. That was one of my film teachers. It feels cheeky, but it also feels serious. So yes, it feels like this person that is speaking is going to die.
Yes.
And they see someone and they're like, oh, well, this isn't so bad. But then they end up living. So I'm trying to think of a plot.
Yeah.
Like a movie like that.
Yep.
You know, there's Angel with, I think, John Travolta. But I feel like that is.
Is that Phenomenon? Absurd.
No, I honestly think the movie was... Oh, it was Michael. I take it back.
Oh, Michael, yeah.
Michael. Michael. Yeah, it came out in 96. Watched that with my parents, but y'all don't need to know that.
Brian, that's because this movie, and there were like a string of movies like that movie that we all collectively watched with our parents. Like Angel, we all watched Splash with our parents at some point in time, the movie where Tom Hanks finds a mermaid.
Contact.
We all watched Contact. We all watched...
Yeah.
My Stepmother is an Alien with Dan Aykroyd. Like, we all watched those kind of movies with our parents.
Yeah. That, I don't know. Michael's coming to mind, but I don't feel like that's it. I don't feel like that's it. Welcome, Marcus, the real Big Texas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here comes Big Texas.
Holy shit, he's got a gun.
Just like Big Texas.
It's just you know that his name Jamal. Yeah.
Welcome, Marcus. Welcome. We're in the middle of muddling through a.
I sang Big Texas to myself for a majority of the day today.
I love. Oh, me too.
Okay.
Me too.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Marcus, here's the quote.
Holy shit, he's got a gun.
Just like
Big Brian looks very. Yeah, Brian looks very serious. His trusty steed is named Jamal.
Because we got completely sidetracked by Big Texas, and we're in the middle of Catch That Quotable.
Yeah. He's like, come on, guys, focus up. Okay, what's up?
I woke up this morning, you know, and the sun was shining, and it was nice, and all that type of stuff. And the first thing I saw you, and I said, "Boy, this is going to be one terrific day. So you better live it up, because tomorrow you'll be nothing." You see. And I almost was. We don't know what it is.
Oh, fuck no. I don't know what that is.
No,
Marcus, you're supposed to come and help. Come on, man.
Please help.
Deep ass philosophical. I don't know what that is.
I don't know, man.
I don't think it's filling the blank.
We
had one, but we weren't sure if you were going to be here. So we went to the one from last week.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll be honest. I don't know what it is. Dogma is that's a deep quote. That's a deep pull.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Doug, do you have anything?
No, I don't.
Great.
No guess.
Good job.
I'll give you a hint. It is a classic. It's from 1955.
I don't know this. I don't watch anything where racism was still alive and well.
Fair point.
So you
that
don't
is
watch
pre the Civil Rights Act.
So I don't watch anything included.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. nothing before 2024.
Gotta be black and white, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's A Wonderful Life. I don't know when that came out.
I don't know.
Roman, give me one word in the title of the
I've
movie.
Looked no. it up, so I can give
oh,
you
give
a hint.
Me one word. Yeah, give me one word in the title.
I don't know what it is.
Not like the or an.
Cause.
Cause?
Cause.
Cause.
You know, in the 1950s, all titles were long as hell. Like, I'm going to go meet grandma in the rainbow because...
like, meet me in St. Louis.
It's like, why?
Which is a real movie.
It's like, why is that so long?
It's A Wonderful Life.
Yep.
Miracle on 86th Street, around the corner and around the bend. Like, damn. Okay. I don't know what this is still. So that is
all right.
I don't know what this is either.
Are we white flagging it? No guesses. Are we just gonna white flag it?
I want one more joke on the long movie title thing. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. I don't know, man. They just couldn't. They could not have a concise title.
Just
save their life. The best years of our lives. Anyway, I'm throwing in the towel.
Cause and effect.
Here we go. It's Rebel Without a Cause.
Gosh dang it.
It is considered a classic. It is a James Dean classic. I wasn't going to get this because, like Marcus, I don't watch things.
Man, I need to rewatch it.
I'll give you as many hints for the amount of catch that quotable you did that last.
Still
week.
Salty. I thought we overcame.
All right, we had some scheduling stuff, man.
We did.
Okay. Yeah, we had right. stuff to do.
We're doing stuff.
Did you forget that I was in a car with my kids?
Yeah. Did you forget? Did you forget? Marcus, do we want to explain Big Texas to Brian?
Yeah, what is Big Texas? What's happening here?
Brian, I'm going to explain it to you in the exact way that it happened, okay?
That's the best way to do it. I'm all ears.
I'm with my guy, Doug Wagner, right? And my little nephew, Harrison, right? So Doug invites me to a Comic-Con, Toy-Con, like in the mall close by the city. Uh-huh. So we go up there. It was pretty nice. They had a lot of fun stuff up there. Mm-hmm. I got me a... Got me a nice little small soldier, you know what I mean?
That was a find.
Phenomenal. That was a deep find too, right?
I love that.
So we had a good time. So we leave and Doug's like, oh man, you know, do you mind if I go by, you know, Sam's Club? So I'm like, yeah, for sure. Cause Doug is very efficient when he goes in the Sam's Club.
I don't waste any time.
No, you have to be.
Does not fuck around. So he goes in and we're just walking around. We're shooting shits and we're just talking about like whatever, you know, me, Harrison and Doug all messing around.
Sure.
And so I just passed by. We both passed by this Big Texas cinnamon roll. And I just say, Big Texas cinnamon roll. I say it just like that. And all of a sudden, I don't know who started singing.
You did.
It was amazing.
You did.
What a lead-in. What a lead-in.
Brian, when I tell you this is exactly how it happened, I saw the Big Texas cinnamon roll, and my ADHD kicked in, and I just started saying, it's Big Texas.
And then I said, like, you know, that's, and I was like, you know what the beat is? It's dun 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 dun. And I was like, and there's a whip in the background. And then for the remainder of the trip, he and I just riffed off of it.
That's incredible.
We made a whole song.
So the whole song is, "Is Big Texas. Holy shit, he's got a gun. Is Big Texas. You know these colors never run. Is Big Texas. His trusty steed is named Jamal.
Oh no.
He is Big Texas. He's the hero for us all."
Yep. Wow.
That's it.
Wow. Well, subscribe. I would like to like and subscribe to your newsletter.
We're going to start an old ass black and white TV show with just this guy who's like from Texas and everybody's like, oh, holy shit, he's got a gun.
Yeah.
Damn. Oh my gosh.
My favorite part was that the holy shit, he's got a gun. Because it's,
No, that's the word. It really took me off guard. And I was like, no, this is going to be, it's going to be not what you think.
It's the only lyric that doesn't make sense to the rest of it. Like,
no, it's shocking, but the delivery was spot on. It was spot on.
Yeah. The best part of this whole comic trip is, y'all, the addiction's back. I found a haul.
Oh boy.
And the problem is Marcus knew precisely when it was going to be a problem.
It was crazy.
So one of the vendors there, he had like these he had comic boxes set up. And he goes, hey, just, you know, like all the ones that are in that bin, like they're 50% off. Mm-hmm. Like, so if you find something, like for it. And that's where I was like, oh shit.
Yep. That's when you knew.
Yep. That's when I knew he had me. Because I had from a while ago, I had these three, like this Brian Michael Bendis Uncanny X-Men run. Oh, I had these first three for a while. And it was always on my list. Like, hey, I'd like, you know me, being a completionist,
Of course,
having some OCD. I was like, I'd really like to complete that. Brian, I did.
Oh, yeah. Okay, listeners, he's holding a fat stack of comics.
So I went, that was one through three. Magic. I found four through 20 that was just there. And so,
wow.
So now I've got some reading to do because
I guess you do.
What you all can't see behind me is that there's a stack here, a stack here, a stack here, all unread that I need to get to at some point in time.
Yep.
Wow. So I need someone to like barricade this door. And just say, like, hey, man, you can come out once you've read all of it.
Read, bitch.
Yeah, basically, read, bitch. It's like,
sit in there and read.
Here's the thing, though. I watch my guy lock in real time, Brian. So, like,
did you really?
I don't know when the last time you got to be around Doug when you see him lock in, right? So, it didn't seem like there was, like, really a functional system to anybody who just kind of walked up and started, like, just flowing through comic book. Now, here's what I've noticed. Experienced vinyl record players lookers, people that go to vinyl record stores, and people who shop at comic books, and even to an extent like clothes shopping.
Yeah.
They have a system or a way of like combing through things because you kind of know what you're looking for, right? I can go to a vinyl store and I can just pop through because I know exactly kind of where to look on the vinyl seam. I know exactly what the cover, like what cover is trying to catch my attention. For the comic book, the store we usually go to in Sioux Falls, Rainbow Comics and Collectibles, they have a nice system. It's a easy to like, you can go through everything. You can be in there for hours and it's not for fighting the system. This guy, nice guy, he didn't tell us what the system was, just what the deals were.
It didn't look like there was one, because what threw me off was I found like 18 and I was like 19, 18. And I was like, why are we doing this in reverse order? It just didn't make any sense to me. And so I was like, all right, well, let's keep going back and see if I can find it. And finally I got to that one. I was like, well, fuck. All right, here we are. And I was like, and I just, once I figured it out, it was fine.
It was like you saw the code of the Matrix and you're like, I know where I am.
Because Brian, he stopped making jokes and immediately got quiet and just was like, all I could hear in my ear was like, and he was like, he came out with a stack, and then this is what amazed me. He did the math on the stack of comic books that he got and how he like basically he got a hell of a deal.
It was actually a great deal,
So I mean, like, that's awesome. Came out pretty cheap.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, I got, what was it, four? So I got like 18, almost 18, 19 comics that I got for essentially like $50. Like, because they should have been. I did the math in my head. Like, I was just running the math in my head as it was going. Yeah. So it was like, yeah, this makes sense. Like,
that should have easily been $100.
Yeah. Oh, like easy. Book store. Absolutely easy.
Wow.
But we're fine. So here we are.
Wow, that's awesome.
But more importantly, y'all, we had a fire trailer released this morning. Yeah. We got another Deadpool and Wolverine trailer. I don't think this one's going on TV. This is a red band trailer. So we'll drop it link in the episode description so that you all can check it out if you haven't already. Gentlemen, first thoughts on this Wolverine Deadpool trailer.
I mean, it fulfilled all expectations just by it caught me off guard with the seriousness of the tone, if I'm just being honest.
Yes, I agree.
Because everything, it's Deadpool, it's supposed to feel goofy, it's supposed to be funny. And everything we've seen leading up to this point has been that same Deadpool feeling. But this trailer kind of showed the seriousness of what the kind of the thick of the plot is, in that it pretty much revolves around a Wolverine redemption arc.
It appears that way.
Certainly feels that way.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I think one thing that jumped out to me immediately was how this is all multiverse. I don't think we're getting. Mm-hmm. I don't even think we're gonna be in Deadpool's world, even if that is the same world as the MCU. Like, I don't think we're getting any of that. I think we are immediately multiverse hopping. That was the thing that stood out to me immediately. And I also enjoy that it seems like there's going to be this element of like, no, like Deadpool, for some reason, you're the only one that can go save this particular universe. Mm-hmm. Or you're the only person that can recruit Wolverine or something like that. So I'm really pumped for that. I feel like that's going to be a fun twist, and it's Deadpool. I feel like it's going to be irreverent at some point with that concept, and I'm very much here for it.
Yeah. And I like that they did it. The tone is serious because there's stuff going on, but they also kept those elements of it, of like why you showed up, like of those like fourth wall breaking moments. Yes. And then even like, so he's staying true to character, which I really like, really appreciated a lot, which was great.
Let me know at which point I can just go off.
Go for it.
Do it.
Do you want it now? Do we want to keep? No, seriously. Like, trailer first. Are we sure? Okay. All right. Listen.
Let that dog off the chain.
Yeah, it has nothing to do. Woof woof. It has nothing to do with the trailer. It has something to do with a tweet I saw about the trailer. Okay.
Oh, okay, that's fine. It's trailer adjacent. Yeah. It's trailer adjacent.
Before we get to that, because I also saw some stuff.
Okay.
Let me get into some of like.
Please.
two other meaty bits that I wanted to
Brian, give us your meaty bits.
Motherfucker.
I set myself up for that. I really did. I really did.
You know what, Brian? Wow. I don't even blame you.
I mean, no, yeah, like, that was that was perfect. Like I just,
I mean,
I tossed you,
said
the ball
it.
And you, I mean, you sung it for
you a minute. Someone's gonna hang it over a middle center plate. Like I'm gonna hit that out of the park.
Brian, I'll take all your meaty bits.
Thank you. You know what? That means a lot.
I think the NBA might be meaty bits.
Look, the
pretty
two
chunky
things,
meaty bits.
The two meaty bits I wanted to bring to everybody's attention.
Bigger than anticipated meaty bits.
Quite large.
Oh, holy shit. He's got a gun.
I don't, but anyway. No, it looks like Cassandra Nova is going to be an antagonist or the main antagonist of this movie. And I have been reading comics for about 30 years now, and I did not know who this person was. I looked her up. And it's probably one of the most like comics like character stories I've ever heard.
100%.
Like so basically she is she's like on the level of Charles Xavier, I think is the short version here. She has history with Xavier, she's potentially like his twin.
Kind of sort of.
Like that was my gist. I also know there's like she was a clump of cells on a sewer wall at one point, but then
that's because she was his biological twin.
Okay, I thought so.
And she tried to kill him in the womb because she's a mumma dry. And so basically those folks like absorb and can like shift around to different people based on who they are. And that's so she basically like she tried to kill him in the womb when she accepted all of his psychic powers. Well, Charles in the womb used his psychic abilities to drive her out, and she became a clump of cells on the wall.
Amazing.
And then fast forward, she's a bald woman. There you go.
She's a bald woman terrorizing.
She's a bald woman version of Charles Xavier.
Yep. You know, Cassandra Nova, I feel like that's a thing here popping out. And then I didn't get this from when I watched the trailer the first time. Excuse me. But it appears that other people picked this out. There are a ton of other X-Men characters in the previous movies.
Yep.
Some of the Morlocks. We have Azazel from First Class. We've got Pyro. We knew that already. We did know about Pyro. Mm-hmm. Someone said they saw Toad. I need to
Toad,
do a third
Toad one. Was in there.
Yeah.
Lady Deathstrike is in there.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I'm really pumped for that because there is so much X-Men history with that. And some of those characters got plenty of time to shine. Others did not. So I'm excited to see how they kind of bring all that. And we know Kevin Feige, he gets how to make movies and honor, like give those characters enough time to breathe without them overstaying their welcome. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'm really curious how that is going to hit for people who don't know the X-Men movies. Like, so I don't know. This movie feels like a really weird blend of like a reboot, but also like nostalgia, but also having it be something new because we haven't got Wolverine in his classic suit since the beginning of these films in 1999. So we've waited now 25 years for this. So I feel like people are understandably hyped for it. And I think that's okay. Like, I don't think we should shame those people. Wolverine was never in the comic suit, which is, I feel like that was really easy to do and nobody ever did it.
Yeah. One other thing I'll mention about Cassandra Nova before we pivot over to Marcus's thing. Yeah. She's also the one. So the most recent episode of X-Men 97, I think we talked about it last week, where it was like a big Sentinel conglomeration that attacked Genosha. In the comic book, she's the one responsible for that.
Yeah, damn.
Okay. She's the one who's responsible for the genocide on Genosha because it's a relic of her brother started it, and she wanted to tear down everything that he created.
Jesus Christ.
So he attacked. So she attacked and did the genocide in Genosha. Can't remember the issue, but it definitely happened.
I mean, yeah, I have not run into her in my comic.
No, neither have I.
all. So I'm kind of, to be honest, I'm kind of excited just to see the movie version.
Yeah,
I don't
me
really
too.
Feel like I need to go read a bunch of comics. I know, yeah. I know that there's like a comic. There's a story where Jean Grey talks about it, but I mm-hmm. I don't know where to track it down. And I'm like, you know what? I'm okay. Like, I'm okay with the movies.
The way she gets beaten in one issue of the comics is it's all like, when we say it's like hashtag comics, this is the best way. This is like the most insane way. Charles separates his mind into a million pieces and goes into the minds of everybody and helped like drives her out. And just like, it's just the most insane thing you'll ever hear. So
It just kind of feels like
Charles.
Cassandra Nova kind of feels like someone was in the writing room and they're like, who's a good match for Xavier? And then they just kind of conjured this out of thin air. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff.
His twin.
Yeah, well, exactly.
And I will say, I think it's kind of a unique thing because, I mean, she could be a Charles from a version of a, like, you know what I mean? Like,
he is
could,
a freak.
From a different, he absolutely is a freak.
Yes. 100%. He's down to
clown. She could be the He wants to put some oil on that bald head, and he just wants you to rub
it. That motherfucker was ready to bark for his wife.
Yes.
In the episode, this motherfucker said, they think that I'm your pit. And she says, calm down, I'll make you bark later. And he said, I'm excited for that.
Essentially.
Excellent.
She could be a Charles from an alternative universe. I mean, right? Maybe. I mean, like, it's possible.
Yeah.
That's the thing with this is that, Brian, you're right. This is multiverse. So she could come from anywhere and be a relative of anything. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Marcus, I'm taking your leash off.
Yeah.
Wait, no. Hold on. Go nuts. Go nuts.
You want to get nuts?
You want to get nuts? Yeah. So
racist what I just said.
Yeah, I was gonna go pit.
I
was just gonna ride right past it. So you know, yeah, that,
okay. I acknowledged the mistake. You guys, that was a lie. Hey, Marcus, take it away.
That's what makes him a great white. All right, listen, here's what happens. So I saw somebody post, my phone literally just died. But the tweet that I saw was a screen. Now, my favorite part of this was the fire-ass money shot that they got, which they let us bask in it for a nice few seconds. Wolverine sleeveless walking around the corner with Deadpool. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We got what we wanted. We get two different versions of Wolverine's classic outfit, which is one that has long sleeves on it and then one without long sleeves on it. So he walks around the corner. The tweet said this. It says, wow, how could they ruin why would they take the armored shoulder pads off? This is such a waste of a classic outfit. Or they ruined it basically somehow, some way. Let me tell y'all this. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
there's nothing ever fucking good enough for y'all. And y'all, we finally get Hugh Jackman old ad. Like, no offense to Hugh Jackman, but nobody's supposed to be looking like this. And doing this type of stuff, he's back on his Wolverine regimen. The dude still looks good. It's obviously a different version of Wolverine too. So like in his face, you can kind of see more disgruntled Wolverine.
You're talking this tweet?
This is the exact tweet. What it say? It says, someone please, thank you, Brian. Someone please tell me why they took off the shoulder guards when the sleeves are off, ruins the whole Wolverine look. And up to you, I want to say, Alex, shut the hell up. Enjoy the damn movie.
I mean...
What are you upset about?
You literally made him do like bicep and tricep workouts
for
the better part of 3 months so he can flex and drive his claws into somebody, and you're not going to take those sleeves off?
I mean, fucked, man. I don't understand. I don't understand this tweet because Wolverine in the comics has so many looks. He's on so many teams. He's in so many relationships. I guess that one doesn't count. But he has an outfit that is sleeveless without the shoulder guards. Like, I don't understand why this is even an issue. Like, let Hugh be jacked, man. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it, man. Like, of all the things to nitpick in this trailer, you're going to talk about shoulder pads?
Come on. How good that was, Brian.
I'm not even mad about
it. That's despicable how good that was. Let you be jacked, man. Listen, I just want to tell everybody, shut the hell up. Enjoy the trailer or not. I'm at a point where, yes, vocalize your opinion because you have a phone and you have an X account, which I'm about to delete soon. I just want to let everybody
know. Do it. It's do it. At least take the app off your phone. It'll do you wonders.
This is the most disgusting app I've ever had in my life. The amount of right-wing propaganda that I get on this fucking app is terrible. It's fucking terrible. Anyway, Elon, kiss my ass. So anyway, stop complaining about little shit. I think you should just enjoy the trailer. I think we're finally going to get something here. You know, about Deadpool, they talk about there's a new theory that they introduce that talks a little bit about when an anchor figure or person dies in a multiverse realm, that world dies. And so like they will like go to this new idea that there will be a character in each universe that is important to it. So if that person dies, the entire world eventually decays and breaks down.
So so Doug, check me on this, but I'm pretty sure that's the idea of like Nexus beings, that there is a being that is connected to other realities, but in their own reality, they're essentially like they're the most important. Use your terminology, they're the anchor.
Yes.
And I feel like this is if we're going down this rabbit hole, we do have stuff in the MCU pointing to Wanda as that person. And yes, I do have an affinity for Scarlet Witch, but I also feel like it's important to call that out.
There was a whole fucking commercial for it in WandaVision.
Yeah, the Nexus. Yes. Yeah, the Nexus being. Yeah. I was thinking it was Spider-Man, but yes, Wanda makes more sense.
I mean, it's from it's from the text that we have. I also feel like the MCU, honestly, what I'm waiting for the MCU to do is be like, oh, you thought this was the main universe? Check this out. And then it's like a whole different
thing. So Brian, I do want to add to this point because I don't want to bask on it too long, but I think it kind of connects the dots. Tom Holland has said today in an interview that he plans on playing Spider-Man for a very long time. Okay, he said he owes his career to Spider-Man, and he's actually a part of the early creative processes to developing Spider-Man, which I think is very interesting, right? Which means we can get grown Peter Parker. We'll get those a long time ago. We predicted on this pod that they would do high school Peter Parker, college Peter Parker, and then adult Peter Parker. And then I think that that's where he would like kind of pass it over to Miles Morales. Gives you kills two birds with one stone. You get to age out of Spider-Man and then start an entirely new Spider-Man with Miles Morales and then kind of bring him back periodically.
Right.
Also, in addition to, I think it's very interesting that Fantastic Four takes place in a different universe. Okay. The
universe
X-Men,
or time? Is it universe or time?
I think it's both. I think it's an entirely different universe and time, because they said it's based on a futuristic 60s something.
Based on what they've said in interviews, it's we're unsure. We're unsure if it's our timeline and our time.
Yes.
Got it.
And then in addition to that, there is, it's Fantastic Four. And then there's one more. Oh, X-Men. The new X-Men that we got at the end of the Marvels, that takes place in an entirely different universe too as well.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're far off, Brian, by saying they're like 616 may be the universe we're familiar with. It won't be the one that we should be comfortable with. I think it'll all change.
And I don't know if they'll get away. I don't know if they're going to like totally destroy 616. I don't think it's going to be like Deadpool killed the Marvel Universe type thing, which I read for the first time, by the way, this past weekend. But I don't know. It makes me wonder how they're going to play with it. And I also enjoy the idea of them really establishing Nexus or anchored folks of like, no, if like this person dies, this entire world dies. And then, exactly what Mason is saying, the incursions from the Multiverse of Madness, which is like probably like my biggest gripe with the MCU right now. Like, cause you're saying this is the multiverse saga. And then like, you haven't moved that meter forward for like
until June or July. Right. You haven't touched it for years. Like,
and let me correct myself. And you've had almost a dozen projects since then.
There you go.
Like, I wouldn't mind if it was like one thing a year. That's fine. If it was phase one MCU, that's fine. But like, you've had about 10 projects to like address this or figure it out, and like nothing's happened. But
I think all your anchors are going to be in the last Avengers movie when they do the Avengers Secret Wars. I think I agree. All of your anchors, the important people that are supposed to be there, will get pulled in to participate in this, and whatever happens with the Beyonder or not the Beyonder or Kang, I think that's how they destroy 616, and they bring all of these different universes to one universe. Like your incursion is going to be this new 617, 618 is the new multiverse.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I do feel like it's going to pull from, oh my gosh, I want to get this right, the 2015 Secret Wars. It's not Secret Wars 2, which was like written in the 80s, and it's not the original Secret Wars.
Written no, Wars. More it's, secret.
I think I have it over here. Let me give you the author.
Okay. It's the most recent secret of the wars.
Where War Machine and Ms. Marvel are kissing.
Yes.
Is it the Jonathan Hickman?
Yes.
Asad Ribic?
Yes.
Secret Wars? Was from... Oh, this is not going to help us with it.
That's okay.
Anyway, carry on. I'll keep looking.
No, authors are even helpful. Like the Hickman Secret Wars, I think that's good. And the idea there was that they did pull apart all these universes and they made a battle world of all those universes. But then after that, it was like, this is the one continuity. Like, this is it. Everybody's here and we're done. Which part of me would be sad to see the multiverse go away. But the other part of me is like, man, like the way you all handled it, I'm not like super pumped with how you've handled it. And I'd kind of be okay closing the chapter on it. Because I also think there's a fun way to end it. And like, if we're having all these different types of heroes battling or villains battling each other, I don't really think there's another way you can top that with having the multiverse door still open, right?
Yep. No, it's got to shut at some point. Because that's where, I mean, that's where Marvel really started to, they didn't know how to, I don't want to say they didn't know how to handle it, but like they got really distracted by like whataboutism. I feel like they 100%. You know what I mean? It was like, but what about Doctor Strange? And what about, you know, his like girlfriend who's technically a daughter of Dormammu? Remember when we introduced that like randomly? Like this is all stuff that like they were just like, and then we could do that, and then we could do that. It just felt like, you know, someone was like just they were playing improv in the writing room, and then what? No, that's it. No. And then what? Like, it just needed to stop.
It really did. And I feel like, you know, and this happened to DC too in comic book form with Crisis on Infinite Earths. And I love that the entire reason they did Crisis on Infinite Earths as a comic was like, we got to clean this up. We got to kill people.
We got to trim some fat, you guys.
Mm-hmm. Like, I love how Crisis of Infinite Earths is held up as like, oh, this is like the comic, but it's like really a glorified custodian. I'm just like, nah, I gotta clean this up. Sorry,
well, that's what Flashpoint is the same thing, right?
Yep,
It's DC's go to every time they want to like mainstream something or introduce new characters or whatever the fuck
make,
they want to
make
do.
Flash run backwards and fix it all.
He runs faster, Doug, and then he goes backwards. Yeah. Okay,
come on, man, get it together.
Sorry, the Flash movie threw me off, and now I'm all screwed up about how
put him
he does
in the
it.
Chrono Bowl.
That's okay. Now, Brian, now I'm back on track. Thanks.
Got it. Don't forget the spaghetti randomly.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
What a wild, terrible movie.
That
was not good.
That movie really.
They looked at that shit and was like, put it out.
Yeah, fuck it. We don't care.
Honestly, that's the point where I knew it was just kind of all made up in like TV executive world. Like, that's when I knew like we would do a better job because like you look at The Flash and then you hear what Batgirl was going to be. And you're like, you're telling me that we worked on this for years to get this out the door. But you're telling me there's a literal finished movie with Brendan Fraser as the villain and like the woman from In the Heights as Batgirl. And you're telling me we're going to trash the Batgirl, but we're going to make the Ezra Miller property, who's super problematic. They have a lot going on. We're going to put that out, though.
You know what probably was? They were talking to they probably were like, he was having a conversation with like his 7-year-old nephew, Brian, to throw it back earlier. And he's like, it's really bad. I'm not sure people are going to like it. And the 7-year-old was just like, I don't care. Put it out. And he was like, all right, fuck it. We'll put it out.
What is this, Boss Baby?
I mean, that would explain a lot. To be
it absolutely
honest.
Would.
This Fast and Furious franchise, honestly, would make a lot of sense. How much y'all need to make a better movie?
We need 200 Patreon top tier members, and we will make a better Flash minimum. Movie.
Well, we got to get in
low,
the door.
That's low ball.
I mean, all I'm saying is if we were in the decision room, we'd be like, no, you put out Batgirl immediately.
Put that shit that, in right
let me answer Roman's question differently. Roman, if you just want a better story that's written, I mean, I can make a better written story for like $50. The visuals are going to be dog shit, but welcome the to story, black and white the fan story will be much better. Now, if you want high quality visuals, yeah, we're talking like at least 500 more top tier Patreon members.
Don't have really
at a minimum
number.
For a year. No,
for a year,
do it. Okay, send me your Venmo.
Got it. Okay, cool.
All right. Everybody stay cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, that's what I knew it was all made up. We're getting into universes and multiverses. Before I transition us to the Tom Holland stuff, does anybody have anything else they want to say about Deadpool or?
No, I'm really excited. Marching I like the cocaine jokes. I thought
yeah. Cocaine jokes are my favorite.
The characters, the Deadpool dog, I think you can tell Ryan Reynolds really wanted to do this movie. He's been talking about it for a while. And I love Ryan Reynolds' as Deadpool because he takes this character serious for how silly and goofy the character he is.
I think I'm starting to like Ryan Reynolds more and more as a human being. Like, I think I mean, it's just I always looked at him like, oh, look at this pretty boy. Like, he's probably a dick.
That's
like,
hate.
He's probably a dick. Like,
wow.
Like, I that's just kind of how I am. It's like if someone's like too funny, too good looking, my response is just, this motherfucker probably, you know, he's got some fucking skeleton in his closet that he doesn't want to tell anybody. But after watching like the Welcome to Wrexham documentary where you got to see him like as a human being and then like his passion stuff here, I retract my previous statement that he's probably not a dick.
Look, I know we don't do a lot of romantic comedies on this podcast, but The Proposal with Sandra Bullock, he's phenomenal in. He blends that charming Ryan Reynolds aesthetic with being super sincere, and it's nice. It's a good, nice date movie, whether you've been married for 10 years or maybe you're just setting out on your relationship, trying to figure out what this is.
What about Marcus?
What?
Like, he's not dating, but can he watch it by himself, or does he have to watch it with somebody?
That's fucked up. That's fucked up.
Watch this by yourself.
I'll just take my Vaseline with me too and watch the movie.
We'll get some chats in the chat that are saying his interactions with his wife Blake Lively are fantastic.
They are cute. Ryan they Reynolds are so cute.
Blake Look, Carson. I'll acknowledge that something happened to me where someone who was like really funny and really pretty like said or did something to me, and now I've just written off anybody that way as like,
wow,
you know what I mean? Like, I've just now holding them all accountable for one thing. I don't know, okay. But I might write a song or an album about it. I hear those do pretty well. Brian, move into Spider-Man before this turns.
We're gonna transition here to Star Wars, Spider-Man. Talking about Spider-Man. Anyway, Deadline had a piece come out today, and it was an exclusive interview with Tom Holland, and the big takeaway here is that Spider-Man 4 with Tom Holland is in development. They are currently in the script phase. They are taking scripts. Tom Holland is excited, and he is part of the early creative team, which was I feel like that's the big zinger here from this Deadline piece, is that Tom Holland is involved with the creatives at the very, very beginning of this. So Spider-Man 4, it's probably on the way.
So they're taking scripts. I think they've already got these scripts.
Well, he said it in a weird way. It felt very like PR doctored. Here's the quote. Quote, we're figuring it out. We're at the stage where it's post strike, so we're waiting for those scripts to come in.
He's lying. I thought that everybody knew Spider-Man 4 was already coming out because there were already like heavily rumored who's gonna appear in it. Because Sony and Kevin Feige were going back and forth about which direction to take Spider-Man 4. Sony wanted to go multiverse, like bigger. And then Kevin Feige wanted to do more ground level heroes, all involving like Daredevil to some extent, and maybe even like, you know, Spider-Man running into Daredevil, not as like mentor, but like as two guys that just like whatever. Because a synopsis came out about Spider-Man 4 already.
Oh, really?
It was like, it might have been leaked, so take it with a grain of salt. But it just kind of said like along the lines of the more Peter Parker has, Peter Parker is now only Spider-Man, and the more he becomes Spider-Man, the less he becomes Peter Parker, and basically how he's losing himself, and it's only Spider-Man that remains here. Sydney Sweeney was also rumored to be Black Cat, and Black Cat is also like rumored to be like the love triangle with MJ will happen. MJ will get her memories back of Peter and start getting it all back. So it's like that stuff that I had been reading up on this whole time. So I don't know. And that our guy is like rumored to be the director that they want to lean into that did Multiverse of Madness.
Sam Raimi. Oh, that's weird, because he came out in an article, and I'll find it. He at WonderCon, he dispelled the rumor. He said, "I already did Spider-Man. Why would they want me to do it again?"
Oh, okay. Okay. See.
Even if they offered it to Raimi, I don't think he would take it.
You think so?
No, I don't think he'd touch it.
I mean, he had such a negative experience on Spider-Man 3 that I think it would take a lot for him to come back. I think it would be a lot of money that Kevin Feige, I don't think. They like Marvel's not in the doghouse, but like they're not in La La Land anymore. Like they gotta like actually, I want to phrase this the right way. They need to be performing as they were pre 2021.
They're not. Chapek's not in charge anymore. The instructions of give me more is gone. And Iger, love him or hate him, said. Yep. I really want to have quality stories. If the story's not quality, don't turn it out. So I think there's a lot more critique of, you know, of that type of stuff. So
I do think it would be funny. I mean, I agree with the rumor. What am I trying to say? The rumor you're talking about, Marcus, of Kevin Feige wanting to be having Spider-Man be a street level hero. Mm-hmm. I think that is the right direction to go. Mm-hmm. After No Way Home, you can't top it. I don't think you can top No Way Home as far as like multiversal shenanigans. And I think the way you try to thread that needle is like he's a college student. Like he is a college student that survived multiversal events. And how do you deal with that? Like, I feel like there's a good story there. I also feel like this is a perfect opportunity for him to run into Jessica Jones or Luke Cage, Daredevil. Mm. Like pick any of your plucky street level heroes, and I feel like those are going to be pretty good interactions. I mean, Kingpin's right there. Like, it feels really, to me, it feels very simple to me. But I'm not surprised that Sony is like, how can we make it bigger after they've tried to have Madam Web be this like whole entire spanning thing, and they're trying to make Kraven the Hunter be its like globe trotting hunt, right? Like all of the Morbius too, like it's the vampire and there's vampires that they're gonna take over the city, right? Like they always are going bigger. Those are probably always the production notes that they're getting, and then for Kevin Feige to be like, no, actually bigger. I just want him to save this diner actually. That's it.
Give it to me bigger. Actually, not so much.
I mean, I don't know. I think
I don't know where we're going here.
I have an itch on my goddamn back that's been distracting.
I can't get it.
Okay,
just let it out.
You guys are talking, and I'm like, yeah, good point. And then I'm like, my fucking back. Anyway, Spider-Man.
All right. Anyway, there wasn't much more information there. Tom Holland's in the creative process, so I think that's going to be fascinating.
So what do y'all want to see in Spider-Man 4?
Brian?
For me, I want to see that college Peter Parker. I want to see him coming into his own a little bit. I feel like No Way Home set up this really cool blank slate. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see what decisions Peter is making without having to worry about his aunt, without having to worry about MJ. Mm-hmm. If they do stick with nobody remembering him, like, I feel like there's a really good story to tell that we haven't seen of, like, what does Peter do when he's not having to worry about protecting these people? Mm-hmm. Like, what is it that he wants, and exploring what that looks like for his character. I can think of a few paths of what that is, whether it's his academics, whether it's going full-time Spider-Man, or whether it's something like completely different. I think that could be really special.
Yeah. I think for me, I want to see the repercussions of the choice, right? Like, he made a very big decision to say, what if nobody remembered who Peter Parker was, like,
yeah,
and gave that up. And I want to see, how is he adapting to that in a world where now he's in college and, you know, he has this, he still has an identity of some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
And so how does he now balance of, how do I get pieces of my life back? But even though I've kind of put all my chips in one bucket, like, I think there are things there that are going to be important to think about.
Yep.
And the scientists that he could run into as teachers, right? Like, he's got a brilliant scientific mind.
Oh, yeah.
You could pick one of the scientific villains, spin the wheel, and that's the professor that he's running into in college, and it needs to work. I can tell you what I don't want. I really don't want it to be a high stakes thing. Like, I don't want it to be like he's trying to stop the entirety of the world from exploding. Like, keep the threat to New York City, and that's fine.
So you're saying you don't want Venom taking over the city? Got it.
Well, I would take like a Venom Island Venom. Like, I'd take a Venom, like, you know, the symbiote storyline where there's a lot of them.
I definitely think that's happening.
I agree.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. I just don't need it to be the King in Black. Like, I don't need the space symbiote creator to come down while we're dealing with Venom. Like, I don't need to do that.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like this would be the best opportunity to introduce Miles, because I feel like Insomniac with their Spider-Man 2 game showed that you can have this narrative of Peter mentoring somebody as Spider-Man, and how engaging that is, and how gut-wrenching emotional that is when things don't go right. That's like the third path I was kind of thinking of, but I don't know if they're going to be at the Miles stage yet, but I feel like at this point you have to. But Marcus, what do you think?
I feel like I'm going to disagree with the Miles thing. I think it's entirely too soon, and it'll be...
Wow, really? Four movies in and you feel like it's still too soon? Okay.
I think it feels like, although it's four movies in, if we honestly think about it, Spider-Man is just hitting his solo adventure after No Way Home.
That's a good point.
To me, right now, he's not in a mentoring phase. Insomniac, Peter has gone through college, started his own business, done everything.
Yeah,
that's adult Peter. This Peter still needs his own mentorship that's not Iron Man. So I think learning from Daredevil, taking up Kingpin and going up against Kingpin on your own, and having your own enemy, falling in love with Mary Jane, so you know exact, kind of going back to your point, what is it that Peter Parker wants?
Yeah.
I don't think we can introduce a Miles until Peter knows who Peter is. And that's, I want to see Tom Holland get some, like, gruff on him as this college mid-age Peter Parker.
Just to have him get knocked around real
hard.
I think it's also worth mentioning that I agree with Marcus, but for a different reason, which is, like, we have the last Spider-Verse animated movie that's still slated.
Mm. Oh yeah.
And I kind of want to give that enough space to breathe and to finish right. You know what I mean? Like, I want that to let that take its space. Like, let that take its thing, because if there's two Miles's we have to figure out, I just feel like one's going to eat the other. And I would rather say finish that one out and then loop back around.
Yeah, I think you both make compelling points. I think for me, it's coming from, like, an audience perspective of, like, this is going to be, if this happens as the fourth Spider-Man movie, like, we are staring down the barrel of, like, the eighth Spider-Man movie.
Yes, that's exactly when I think you should do it.
25 years. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we've had Miles for like 10-ish, I think. And I think it's time, because when I think of Spider-Man, I also think of Miles.
Yes,
so because at some point, like, it's just like you're clearly leaving it out, but I could do one more movie, but it is still going to be a thought in my head.
I'll take two more. I think he has to hit the end of his own trilogy. No, Brian, and here's primarily why. Here's why. Primarily, I'm more concerned that they will rush Miles, because Miles isn't just a Black Spider-Man. He's not just a Latino Spider-Man. Yeah. He's an Afro-Latino character that you have to get the right person, the right chemistry. They're about to introduce the Fantastic Four and X-Men. I think it's too much. I think once you get those new teams established, then you can introduce this new. You got to have Peter Parker with the Human Torch, with Johnny Storm fucking around with each other first. You got to get some other chemistry points with Spider-Man and Tom Holland while he's in it. And then you can introduce that, like, that younger Miles, I think.
Yeah, I'm reading the writing on the wall. So it's going to be Spider-Man 6 before we even hear the name Miles Morales.
Yes.
Or I should say Tom Holland Spider-Man 6.
Yeah.
So no, I think those are all fair points, and I agree with your logic from like a movie, from like a movie rhythm, like if they're gonna do this they're gonna want to do another trilogy. And they're gonna want time, and boy, it sure sounds like Tom Holland's in the driver's seat. Sounds like he's the captain now, so
he's Robert Downey Jr. I think that's exactly what they that way he's RDJ.
I mean, I want another trilogy.
Let's hope without the habit.
I don't think he was okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, hope y'all like Spider-Man.
I'm sitting in it. I made my choice.
Those were the two big news pieces.
Thank you, Brian.
Y'all are so uncomfortable, and it makes me so happy.
Thank you, Brian. I'm not saying that I'm not uncomfortable. I just, as long as you want to live in and play, I'm gonna let you get your shit off.
Look, man.
Just remember, RDJ, it's not Marcus J. Destin or Brian Roush.
Hey, Robert, remember whose face is plastered all over that FIBW stuff? It ain't just me, baby.
What the fuck? Why would you bring us into it?
I don't think he was using during the MCU days, but I'm also not his babysitter, so I don't know. What I do know is RDJ gave us a very memorable character. So is there anything that my co-hosts would like to mention for news?
Why is Brian?
They want to bring up before we start closing this out?
Because my itchy back threw me out of all of it, and I blame my back.
Who would win, human or itchy back?
Itchy back always wins every time. I don't give a fuck what's happening. If your nose or back is itchy, that's just gonna throw you off.
I've been in a meeting where my nose itches. There's no discreet way to do that. You just look like a weirdo.
Yeah. Really, it's true.
Rubbing too much, then they think you're doing cocaine.
Speaking of habits. Marcus, did you have anything? Because I don't have anything.
No, I don't have anything.
All right, let's close it out.
We got a bonus episode. Brian's like, hey, I got things to do, guys.
RDJ joke just sent him through the roof.
It really did. He's like done with it. He's like completely over it.
No, that's all you're gonna hear from Brian is go, motherfuckers. Cut it out.
Yeah. We're gonna get a text tomorrow that's like, hey, I think making fun of someone with a drug problem is a bridge too far. And I'm gonna be like, hey, you wanna know something, Brian? I don't censor fucking shit.
I know you don't. I've just seen the Letterman interview with Robert Downey Jr. He seems like an okay guy, all right? That's all I'm saying.
He's a stand-up guy.
Yes, he does.
Gentlemen, what do you all have to plug for this week's episode?
Folks, I'm here to tell you about Color Me Confetti. That's my wife's party supply shop on Etsy. Go to Etsy.com, search Color Me Confetti, all one word. We'll also have a link in our episode description. Go support a local business. Are you throwing a party? Don't order anything. Just go to Color Me Confetti, and you can print out all those designs for your party. You don't even have to leave the house.
You know what's funny to me? Does Maggie know that we talk about cocaine or Vaseline and then pivot right into Color Me Confetti?
She has listened. No, she
okay. Good.
She listens, and she knows.
There's no objections, because I mean, we could try to build in some buffer.
We also did not ask her at all. Be like, yeah. Anyway, get that finger out your butt. Color Me Confetti.
Anyway, welcome to Color Me Confetti. All right. All right. No, she, I can't remember what she phrased. She was like, no, this is what I expect from like you three. I think that's what she said at one point. And I was like,
that's fair.
Thanks.
That's fair.
I think. Pat.
Yeah, that's right. Marcus, the real big Texas, what do you got to plug this week?
Make sure you follow the mantra. Never offended, always humble. Go ahead, buy yourself some merch. Go ahead, buy yourself some gear. Hit the link in my bio and all my socials at Marcus J. Destin. Soul Ties got new music on the way. SOULTYE. Link is coming out, I think, Wednesday, actually. New Soul Tie music is coming out Wednesday. And then I got some new music on the way, working on an album. But whatever you do, follow the mantra, never offended, always humble.
Lead track is going to be all about Big Texas.
Oh, yeah. The album is named Lead Texas.
That's right. Big Texas. This week, I have to plug...
Brian, right. My mom has this infatuation with you, and I don't know what it is. So I want to read to you. But put Mason's thing back on. I'm gonna tell you how it sounds. So you
I was just gonna highlight like a bunch of them as we were closing.
She calls me and she says, "King Marcus, tell Brian, say, hey Brian." That's exactly what she says. That's what I want you to know, Maggie.
I love
it. Please, I tell her no every time, so she had to use Mason to get through it.
I love it. Thank you, Mason. Yeah, I appreciate you.
This week I want to plug this podcast. Look, if you enjoyed our conversation about Spider-Man and Wolverine and Deadpool and sort of the potpourri episode we had, sign up for one of our tiers over at patreon.com/filmsofblackandwhite. The best way though to share us is by spreading the word to a friend or a family member. Tell them about the pod, spread the word that way. We do have a fantastic bonus episode right after this. We're going to talk about, the Life Aquatic, which is going to be great. Yes. But that's what we got. Gentlemen, we have a three-step process to success. What is that first step, Brian?
Hey, folks, I'm here to tell you to read a book. And I'm also here to tell you, you don't have an excuse anymore, because I figured out how to check books out through my phone. And I'm saying it's so easy. It's like you download Hoopla, download the Hoopla app.
I saw that.
You put in your library card. If you're like, Brian, I don't have a library card, go get one. There's free books for you.
They free
in the library. They don't charge you anything. Yeah, so you go do that. You get your library card number. You put it into Hoopla, the app, the phone that you have that you watch the TikTok videos on, right? And then you can check out anything. You can go we talked a lot about comics. If you're like, wow, I don't even know who Cassandra Nova is, I guarantee you there's a library out there that will lend you that comic on your phone, and then you can just read those comics on your phone. Are you mindlessly scrolling TikTok or Reddit, or I don't know, maybe you're a boomer and you're on Facebook, right? Like, don't do that. Just look at comics on your phone.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, I took a shot at Facebook.
I feel attacked. That's like all I look at.
I thought we all collectively abandoned it for the most part. But I might have got that wrong. I know Marcus.
I abandoned Twitter and TikTok.
But he kept Facebook.
you kept the boomer book. Okay. Anyway, download Hoopla. Read books. You just need a library card. Read a book.
Yeah, and my friends in my chat about freedom are really starting to make some convincing points.
Oh, wow.
It was a joke.
He's just three steps away from joining the militia.
I'm three steps away from being what they call a Title 63.
Oh, no.
Don't know what that means.
Oh, my God.
No.
Doug, oh, my God.
I heard there's like a dragon involved. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. There is. I'm excited to slay it. Marcus, what is that second step?
Oh my God. Just drink some water.
Doug,
a lot of y'all, I feel like you can just drink some water. Just shut the fuck up. Just drink water so you can't say nothing else. Say, just drink it so your mouth is just full. Just drink some water.
Yep.
Hey, wash your ass, y'all. It's really important. Get the stink out. Look, summertime is here. You heard Will Smith and DJ Jazzy Jeff say it at the start of this pod. Summertime is a coming. And you want to make sure you got a clean ass as you come into this season. So get up in it, scrub it. If you got to take a 2-shower day, take a 2-shower day. There's no shame in it.
Yeah.
You know, if you go work out in the morning, shower, and then you mow the lawn later that day, it's okay to shower again. Yeah. No one's going to judge you.
Leave that stank on there. Your partner loves it.
No, mm-mm. That's
no, nope, they do not.
They do not.
No, nope. Hard yep. pass.
Step 4, according to Roman, is take every chance you get to earn that's money for charity. Wow.
We missed one. Catch that quote one. And our one chat week. Folks and yeah. Roman will not let us forget it.
That's a yeah. very good point. That does it for this week's episode of Films in Black and White. We'll be back next week with another outstanding episode. But in the meantime, in the between time, stay mm-hmm. safe, stay healthy. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. And we'll catch y'all next week.
Which child? So yeah, tell them Weezy. Ba-ba, get low. Yeah. If I don't do nothing, I'm about. I'm counting all day like the
ASPCA. That's what we chose. We chose that. That's the charity we chose, Roman. Just didn't reveal it until our outro.
Surprise! Mason, put that Vaseline in.